Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
All right, welcome to All These Things Podcast.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's going on this week?
Well, the most exciting thing going on is tomorrow we are going to go see Beyonce.
Formation.
Last minute tickets to go see Beyonce in Formation. I'm so excited.
See, that's how you know I love you.
How?
Because I'm going to see Lemonade.
No, you want to see her too. Don't sit here and act like we didn't watch Lemonade all the way through, minute one to the end.
Lemonade was great.
And you watched it in silence. With me.
It was visually captivating.
I was not keeping you there, so don't even try.
The visuals were amazing. The songs were great.
Okay, we're not doing a review of Lemonade.
Okay, but you're the reason why. I'm just trying to explain. I'm just
saying. No, but you're sitting here trying to act like I'm the reason you're going to go see Beyonce.
You are the reason.
No.
Did I come and tell you I want to buy tickets? Did I tell you?
I mean, I said I want to buy tickets, but you...
And I said, I love you.
Yes.
And I said, let's go. That's what happened.
Anyways, that's what's happening in our week.
So not that tongue.
We're going to go see Beyonce tomorrow. So anyways, let's get the podcast started in its normal fashion.
All right.
Starting with Be Better.
Be Better.
If you haven't listened to our podcast before, Be Better is our segment where we give you a little tip or trick, something that you can take with you for the week to make your life, your work life, or your relationship life better. So what's your Be Better this week?
My Be Better is focus on what you want, what you actually want. We recently went through an exercise with my leadership group that had you focus on what you wanted, what that was going to get for you, and when you wanted to get it. And people went through various different things that they wanted in their lives. And it was very funny because the leadership coach said, okay, everybody forget that whole what you quote unquote want. Focus on what it's going to get you. That's what you actually want. So if you say, I want a Ferrari, and then you're saying the Ferrari is going to give you the freedom and the speed and the fun, and then you want it in a year, she said, forget the fact that you want a Ferrari. What you want is freedom and speed and fun. So don't limit yourself to needing a Ferrari to get it. Think about all the ways you can get freedom and fun and just get it. Forget the vehicle, literally, pun intended, I guess. Just focus on what you're trying to get, what it's going to give you, because that's what's actually driving you and that's what's going to give you happiness. So my Be Better this week is on focus on what you want, what you really want.
Nice. My Be Better this week is make sure you are making progress.
Okay.
And if you're not, move.
Okay, that's straightforward.
I just say this because I think sometimes we can find ourselves in such a rut. You know what I mean? Whether it's in work, or whether it's in, you know, sort of like achieving one of your goals or whatever. But if you look up and you find yourself doing the same thing that you've been doing a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, make sure you have that self-awareness. And if you know, like, I am not making progress, you need to figure out why, and then you need to move. So if that means looking for a new job, if that means taking up a new hobby, if that means getting with a new person, then you need to do what you need to do to move. We have to make progress in this life. So my Be Better this week is make sure you are making progress. And if you are not, move.
My question to you is, who are you speaking to? Who are you speaking for? Because I don't like the way you said, if you need a new person. Like, who are you speaking
to? I'm speaking to somebody today.
You are trying to, as they quote unquote say, you're trying to give a word.
I am giving a word.
Who are you giving a word?
Somebody needs this week, okay? Somebody needs to know that they are not making progress and that they need to move.
Okay.
So,
but you know, I'm struggling because I feel like you're giving a word, but every time you say move, make me think of Luda.
Like, move, bitch, get out the way.
Move,
bitch. No, I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying move like, girl, you know, you need to move on.
Okay, so you're speaking to somebody.
And I'm not, and again, this could be about work. This could be about a relationship. This could be about a hobby, okay? This is a universal Be Better like most of our Be Betters are. This is just, if you're not making progress, identify it, become aware of it, but then you have to move on.
All right, move.
You can't sit here and be stagnant.
All right, so let's kick it off. We're going to move into all things culture. So this topic is an interesting one. I'm going to let you explain it because I have a lot of thoughts and feelings.
So this is hilarious because this actually came in from one of our listeners. And so what they wanted to know is it risky having family members on your Facebook? And is it petty to call him out in your status? And I want to just read this verbatim because it's A, it's hilarious, and B, it gives a little bit of context. So first, well, actually, before I read it, what do you think? Is it risky to have family members on Facebook? And have you ever had anybody like cross the line?
Well, for somebody like me, it's not risky because I don't really do that much that could be embarrassing for people to see or hear. For most people, yes, it is very risky to have family on Facebook. Is it petty to call them out? Yes. I can't stand it when people put those status up. You know what? If you're going to specifically tag them in the status, or if you're going to talk to them directly via Facebook, that's okay. What's petty is people act like they're talking to the air.
No, when they're talking about one specific person.
No, but if you say the specific person and make it clear, then that's not petty. That's being a
no,
boss.
No, but they never do.
And that's petty when you just talk to the air. Well, you know, people like.
Yeah, people should just stop doing
that. I wish people would. I'm like, no, that's a specific person you're talking about.
Okay, well, listen to this status. It says, shout out to the stalkers that go back and report things on my page to my parents. I guess you guys forgot that I'm an adult. And until someone takes over one of these bills, I don't answer to anybody but God. Family is what you make it, not who you share blood with. Of all the positive things on my page, you go back and report who I wish a happy birthday to or whose baby I said was cute? Seriously? LOL. How that turns into a topic of discussion is beyond me. You breed negativity, which is exactly why that block button is in full effect. And then they followed it up with a comment that said, the comment on their own page that said, I posted this status on purpose to see if I would get a phone call. My parents don't even have Facebook, and sure enough, one of them just called me because they had already been put on notice that I wrote this status. So obviously this person has somebody in their family who, like, reports everything.
Everybody does.
And is that really a problem? I mean, if you put it on your Facebook page, you know who your family is on your page. Like,
look, first of all, this post was petty from top to bottom.
Why?
Just the way you know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it is petty. Shout out to the stalkers.
Yeah, shout out to the stalkers. And unless you pay these bills, I don't answer to anybody but God. I mean, it was petty. It was salty. It was a lot of things. But I understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
I assume it's a she, right?
I think so.
Okay. I understand where she's coming from because I have felt the way she felt. I actually blocked a cousin because of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it wasn't anything. It wasn't negativity. They weren't breeding negativity. They weren't doing anything. This was the principle. My family is huge. I'm an only child, but I have tons and tons and tons of cousins. And one in particular was really tripping me out because I went to school away for a long time for high school and college, and I wasn't in New York. So I come home from school and my mother is asking me questions or alluding to things, nothing that's hidden, but just really specific. Mm-hmm. And so I would ask back, well, where does that question come from? Well, so-and-so said, so-and-so, and you didn't mention this to me, which is the funny part, because my mother doesn't really care what it was, because like I said, it wasn't scandalous, but right. It was more so, well, you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
And this person told me, why didn't you tell me? So I'm like, really? At one point, I let it go, but like the third time this happened, I just blocked the person.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to solve your problems, and I don't know why people don't take advantage of the block.
Yeah, because my principle was this. This was not a cousin that I chilled with extra hard. We could have, but you don't seem to know my number, but you managed to know my Facebook profile updates to tell your parents, to tell my parents. So, like, what's that about? Let's just cut the chain off. Break the chain.
Right.
Break the chain. So, I understand where it is. I'll be very quick to hit block. I don't need to do the petty updates. You know how many people I have blocked from Facebook because you said something raw? Some of your political statements I just couldn't even deal with.
Yeah.
Block, we're done. And it's not petty. I don't need to do the petty updates, but you will be removed.
I don't do petty updates, but I really like petty updates. Like, I will screenshot a petty update in
you
a minute.
You're terrible.
I'm sorry. Like, I do it.
You were the epitome of Michael in that popcorn.
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll sit back and watch. I'll watch the Facebook fight unfold. Oh, it's actually hilarious because I'm like, really? Why would you have this argument right now? And what's actually extremely funny is when you can tell that like two people are talking to each other, like on their separate statuses. So it's not even the same thread. It's just like a status from, say, Jane over here and Janet on the other side. And they're just like, both posting statuses, which are clearly like
about each other.
That I find to be hilarious. And that's happened before. And I've like screenshotted it and sent it to other people who I know would get a kick out of it because why not?
Well,
you're putting it out there.
Yeah, I've seen that happen before, but I also saw somebody just take it all the way live. There was a guy who was talking about his baby mother and it was doing one of those, like, I'm not going to call you out, but I'm going to say all these things. That's clearly you. Mm-hmm. Well, she decided to get in on the action. Because he was tweeting to specific people about it, and she went ahead and retweeted it with a quote image in it and said, so I'm the woman he's talking about, so let me just set all these things straight. And she sent it to the people he was talking to.
Hey.
So I was like, that was very Amber Rose of you. But
you know, because some people don't take that crap.
Yeah, people,
you know what I mean?
People think
it's
you
like,
won't show up.
It's like, oh, yeah, you want to talk about me? Well, I'm here, so let's talk about it.
Yeah,
like, sometimes you can't troll somebody on your own personal Facebook and not expect them to come and deal with it face to face.
Yeah, she said it straight. But in general, I just wish we could cut out. I mean, honestly, maybe it's just my feed, but I feel like those petty posts probably take about 25% of Facebook status updates at this point.
No, I don't think so.
There's not
that many. I mean, I think like what you were saying right now, it's more like political, like sharing different, you know, news stories and stuff like that. But every so often you get like just too much information or, you know, just personal fights and stuff like that. It's funny.
I guess I have some petty people on my profile.
Keep them coming, folks. If you see anything, screenshot it and send it to us because I'll get a laugh.
Okay, Michael. Just love that. Okay, so our next topic is firmly in the all things relationships category.
Okay.
And it's a Huffington Post article by a conservative millennial writer and thought leader called Natalie Brooke. Now, Natalie says that getting married is not an accomplishment. This is what she says straight up. 3 months ago, my then boyfriend, Craig, got down on one knee and asked me to marry him. I cried with excitement. After all, it was a huge moment in my life that was exceptionally exciting, special, and celebration worthy. But isn't an accomplishment? No. Noah's mm-hmm. bolded.
Okay.
She says, now that I have a ring on my finger, I can finally publicly share my opinion that would have sounded plain bitter coming from a girl without one. She says, being officially taken off the market has definitely not changed my stance. Getting engaged and getting married is not an accomplishment. So I'm going to stop and say, what do you think? Because she already knew where she was going with this, because the next sentence says, ladies, before you dismiss me, hear me out.
Oh, I don't. Okay. Is getting married an accomplishment? Not, so what I'm assuming, I didn't read the article, but what I'm assuming she's going to say is getting a degree is an accomplishment. Becoming a CEO is an accomplishment. Finding someone to love you is not an accomplishment. So when you put it up against these other major monumental things, okay, I assume that's where she's going with this. Fine. Is it an
not fine?
What do you think?
What
do I think? It's an accomplishment.
Man, the fact that you're struggling with this.
This is like I need to know what the definition of accomplishment is.
No,
what?
Straight up, it's an accomplishment.
Can I finish my answer?
I'm finishing your answer.
I think that it is. I'm trying to make sure we can compare apples to apples here, okay? Because, and that's why the definition is going to be very
There was no apples. You introduced the apples. It just says, ask, do you think getting married is an accomplishment?
I think it's a life accomplishment, yes. Yes. My answer is yes.
Yeah, you struggled to get to yes.
No, I just want to make sure that, like, anyways.
You should listen to Shonda. Have your year of yes. Yes to everything, including marriage being an accomplishment.
Yeah, I agree. Marriage, I feel like, is a life accomplishment.
Okay. She claims that her frustration is that in 2016, being popped the question is still more celebrated than academic and professional pursuits of women. Now, me being me, you know that already set off a trigger alert in my mind. Why are you saying being popped a question is still more celebrated than academic and professional pursuits of
because
women?
Because it is. And funny enough that you brought up Shonda, because in her book, she literally talks about this, is that she did all these accomplishments with ABC and her shows and all this stuff. But then when she got a boyfriend, or whenever she, I don't know if she was just in a long-term relationship or if she ended up getting engaged, I don't remember. But she says in the book that, like, everybody was like, oh my God, I'm so happy you have a man. And, like, everyone just started, like, giving her all these accolades. And she's like, no. Like, the real accomplishment here is all my shows and my success at this network. The author is right about that, that once us women, like, get engaged, everybody's just like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. Whereas if you do something else that's pretty amazing or that you had to really work for, you might not get as much praise. People might just be like, oh, okay, like, oh, you got a promotion, like, it's great. Congrats.
No, my issue is that I don't understand why she's trying to specifically single out women here. I don't feel like men get it either. For their professional accomplishments.
No, men definitely get
What?
A lot of praise for their professional accomplishments.
Like, yes. What?
Like, people will send you cigars and alcohol and be like, congrats. I mean, it depends on what you do, obviously, but
I feel like you just described something very stereotypical. People send you cigars and alcohol. Like, what movie were you just watching? I'll stand here for the record. No one's ever gotten me any cigars or any alcohol for any professional accomplishment.
Okay, cigars, maybe not. Alcohol, yes. I mean, that's what we
I've never gotten celebrate. It.
People buy you drinks when you get a promotion.
And when women get promotions, they also get drinks. My point is, like, I don't think it's any different. What I think is actually why people do this, because here's my feeling on it. Women get it for having a man and getting married. Mm-hmm. Men have it for, at a certain point, all of a sudden, it switches, and you're supposed to have a woman and have some kids. Whether or not you're with that woman, at a certain point, they're like, "Men, you need," because all of a sudden it's about family. I think that's what people switch to. That's what they can relate to. So for women, it's like the thing that's most important is getting married, finding love, starting a family,
right?
And I think for men, it's like be professional. But why don't you have a family? I think it switches.
So everybody's. Everybody on the outside is looking for the whole package, right? So they're like, oh, this is great. You work, you have a kid, you have a husband, you have a happy life, whatever, happy life in quotations, right? And so, yeah, when you're continuing to check those boxes, people are getting happier and happier for you. So if you're a woman, you're like in your late 20s and you're working, so you've checked that box, you're good career-wise. Oh, and then you get a fiance, now you've checked another box, and oh, marriage, check. Oh, now you're having a kid, check, ding, ding, ding. Like, you've now accomplished everything that you supposedly need to. So, and I guess I'm saying you've accomplished, right? So right. Yes, all of this stuff are accomplishments.
Yeah. So
it's great.
Yeah, she just triggered me when she specifically called out women. But she, you know, she continues on this line, and she's saying a lot of things. So let's just go back to the whole point where she's just saying, okay, I was excited, I was happy, I cried.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was not an accomplishment, and she didn't feel comfortable saying it until she had the ring, because she felt like otherwise she would sound bitter.
Hmm.
That's what she said. And I'm like, you still sound bitter.
I mean,
You still sound bitter.
No,
like,
I
have a ring, but it wasn't. It's not as important as you all want to make it seem.
I think the thing you have to worry about is potentially her fiance or husband's perspective on that.
Right, because I was struggling and you were struggling to say yes, it's an accomplishment.
Right. I think that would be kind of an offensive to somebody that they're like, well, it wasn't as big of a deal as some of my other things. Whereas I feel like what it is this man said he wants to spend the rest of his life with you, and now here you are writing an article saying, like, well, it's not that big of a deal as some of the other things I've done on my own. And I think that potentially can be, like, a point of contention, potentially. But I do think there is accomplishment side of getting engaged, right? Like, so if you're dating somebody,
mm-hmm.
When we first started dating, I think I told you, like, I was reading a dating book at that time, the dating book that I stand by, that I think anybody who's single and who's out there dating, you need to get the book Mars and Venus on a Date. It's such a good book. I think I tried to get you to read it a couple times, but you've not.
If you pull it out of it here somewhere, I'll read it.
Yes, now you will, but now we're married. So okay, we need the advanced version. Anyways.
I guess you're just like Natalie. Now that we're married, it's not important.
Anyways, Mars and Venus on a Date is a book that I literally read right before going out with you. And all the stuff in the book was addressing the stuff that I was feeling. And it's a psychological book, so it tells like how women usually feel about things and how men usually feel about things. So from the perspective of like really liking relationship books and liking kind of that dynamic of the beginning of a relationship, when you look at how things progress from dating to a long-term serious relationship to then engagement, yes, it is an accomplishment that you got that far. It is, and that's nothing to be like ashamed of to say that, right? Like you succeeded in maintaining your relationship to that certain point. Just like when you, if you're married for like 50 years, that's an accomplishment, right? Like right. People celebrate that to say, hey, like we've stuck it out. We've been married for this long. That's something, that's a success. That's something to be proud of.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think this has just been pushed in her face, unfortunately, too much so that she's reacting this way. Because she literally says, you know, well, in the 1950s, women were primarily housewives. But today there's just women are, quote unquote, balancing so much more than just having a man. She's right. So devaluing it. And I'm like, okay, somebody pushed this so hard that you're like, no, it's just down here. She even goes on to say, you don't have to have a brain, drive, or get special skills to get married. You just have to have a willing partner.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a quote. And I was just like, who, you know what? You're about to have a willing divorce. Okay. Like, because what is this all about? Just like, well, this is just, you're now, in the same way you're saying people escalated marriage, you're devaluing yes. marriage. It's like, well, this is just something I did. It's not as important as me getting a PhD.
But I think everybody's values are different, right? Like, she's totally allowed to have that opinion of saying what's more important than other things. For some women, they're going to be like, the most important thing to me is my relationship with my husband and my family. And then second would be my job, and third would be whatever. So I can't fault anybody for saying that their first thing on their list is their job or their career. It's just a different value system. So I don't think it's necessarily wrong. It does make me cringe a little bit, like the wording choice that she's using.
Right.
Because I'm just thinking if I was on the receiving end of that, I would be like, well, damn.
Exactly.
Like if you wrote an article saying like, well, I have a wife, but that by far is not my greatest achievement. I would be like, well, damn.
Yeah, because what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah,
where do we go from here?
Yeah, and like, where do I fall in this? So I guess I'm number three.
You're number three with that rhetoric.
Yeah. Ooh.
So, yeah, she was doing a lot. Natalie, I guess I'm happy you're married, because if you weren't married and wrote this, it might be a whole other thing.
You know what? Her husband's probably very happy. Like, I feel like he probably knew that she had this opinion before he proposed to her anyways.
We should hope.
And maybe he has the same type of sentiments.
We should hope. But anyway. All right. So, last topic for us today. All things relationship is your success my success? Now this is that was a quick answer, a lot quicker than whether or not marriage was an accomplishment, but okay. This idea is an interesting one, and I'm just going to put it in a frame. Being an only child makes me think of a lot of things in a very singular way. Like, this is me. I have to do X, Y, and Z. Now you have siblings, so you kind of come from a collective. Everything's collective. The way you guys used to do group calls when we first started dating used to freak me out. Like the whole family on speakerphone.
Yeah, which we still do.
Yeah, but thankfully, like, I'm not that involved in it, because I'm just like, this is a lot. But when we're thinking about, is your success my success? I feel like there's stages of things, right? So you're single and you have your own stuff. And then you start dating and it's almost like you're a little bit protective. Well, I have stuff and I share some stuff, but not too much.
Right.
And then you get into marriage and all of a sudden it's like everything's shared.
What's yours is mine. What's mine is yours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But how much is that? Where's the line in that?
There's no line. That's what people need to understand. There's no line in a fully functioning happy marriage. There is no line. Like, we are merged. We are one. What is yours is mine. Your success is also my success. your failures, depending on what it is.
Yeah, deep breath, right. Yeah, we're going
to
come back to that.
Well, let's answer the question that you said first. It was about the success, right? And I've said this. I was talking to a friend and I was saying this when you got accepted into grad school. I was like, I felt like when you got accepted, I was like, we got accepted. And I say that because not because I'm delusional about being in grad school, but because I'm like, we are the ones who had all that back conversation before you applied about should you go, where should you go, what should you study, which program should you apply for, here's the essays, the application, blah, blah, blah. We're the ones who celebrated together when you got accepted. We're the ones who are paying for it. So, like, I feel very much invested in this, and I think I feel as much invested in it as you. And so when you're succeeding at it, when you got accepted, when you get promoted at work, I'm like, yes, like I feel like elated for that. I don't feel like, oh, well, he did that, and so like that's him, but like I have my own things going on. It's like, no, I can have my own things going on, but like when you are doing well, I'm doing well because I'm your wife and we're one.
That was a nice packaged answer.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I struggle with that idea a little bit because I understand that we're one, but there's still like, I feel like there's a collective celebration. So when we got into grad school,
Did you hear that? When we got into grad school.
Yes, okay. Because you said it. So when we got into grad school, I'm sitting here thinking like, yes, we can celebrate, but I got into grad school and I have to do this work.
Right.
And I wrote the essay. And so it's not to say to take anything away from you because we're going to celebrate together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, okay, yes, I understand we are experiencing something.
Right.
But because I'm the one doing it, my experience is so different from your experience.
I agree with that. But I kind of equate it to a parent and their like high school graduate, okay? When a parent sees their kid like graduating from high school, they're just so proud. They've been there through the struggles. They've been there providing support. You know what I mean? And so when you see someone that you poured into do so well, you feel like it's you. And that's kind of what I mean. I'm just like, it's like, we did it. Like, we're here, you know?
Right.
And I think that like it's a positive way to look at your marriage because it takes away a competitive side. I know like a lot of millennials like us, we're all trying to grind. Like we're all trying to do better, have more, be successful, whatever. And I think that when you think about like how that translates into marriage is it's like, yes, we're each doing our own thing, but when one of us becomes successful or rather has success in something, we both not only celebrate in it, but like we were both a part of that. And you know, I felt like that a lot about marriage. I'm like, I've said this about like different things that we've talked about, but I'm like, no, we both are part of it. And I very much like believe that. I'm like, no. Like I was a part of how you got here. I'm not going to say I'm all of it, obviously, but like if you get promoted at work, I'm like, I'm so happy for you. I'm happy for us. I feel like the work that we did got you here and also the work that you did individually. But I'm not going to devalue my own contribution to those successes. And I don't think that should be the same for me too. Like if I become successful in something, if I get promoted at work, if I get a new job that's, you know, better than my old job, then you should feel the same type of, you should also feel proud of that and know that you poured into me to help make me successful.
Yeah. So on the point about the parents thing, I think that's so interesting because to me, the parent comparison is not so much you feel so great, you feel like it's you. It's that you feel accomplished because you feel responsible for it. Like you okay. Raised the kid. So you're like, I did a good job because you had a good head on your shoulders and you made it. I feel responsible for the fact that you didn't mess up and drop out, or you didn't end up in jail, or you didn't end up in anything that could like veer you off this path.
Okay.
So I feel like it's a different thing with spouses and relationship partners and all that stuff. Now, in terms of the shared success, I agree. And I feel like, once again, I'll come back. I feel like there's a collective joy in it and a collective sadness too when like something bad happens. It's like, okay, so you share that part. But it's almost like there's a line at where the ownership starts and ends. And to me, that's the part where I think it's just important for people to at least acknowledge, because I think there's something unique about that experience. It's kind of like, as much as we're one and we have a shared life, mm-hmm. like you're not seeing the world like me. You're not. Right. So I think when people say like, oh, well, this is like us and this is we, I think sometimes in my head, and I think it's the only child thing, I'm like, yes, it's we're experiencing it, but it's me within it. Like, there's still me. Like, if something bad happened to me, it's like, no one really understands it. Like, I would understand it. If something good happens, like, you're joyful, but you don't know the joy like I know the joy.
That's true. Let me take this into, this is something you might not even remember this, but I remember you were talking about somebody who you worked with in the past, and their wife was a stay-at-home wife.
Okay.
So the husband worked, the wife was stay-at-home, and she was going to buy him something for
now I remember.
For Christmas, in like an exercise equipment or something. Mm-hmm. And so it was going to cost like, say, $600. And you were telling me about it because you were like, well, how is she going to buy this for him? Because he's the one who makes money. And this is actually before we were married. And I remember being like, you have got to be kidding. Like, you've got, I remember feeling like I have to get James to understand that like, they are married. And the money is theirs. It is not he makes the money and she just like has access to it or something like that. I was like, no. They have money. And so if she's buying him a gift, it's not her buying him a gift with his money. It's her buying her husband a gift. Period. Yeah. And so I think that, again, like that's kind of a very specific example, and I wanted to get your new opinion on that.
You sure it's new?
I hope your opinion has changed since then. If not, I have work to do. But, but I think it kind of goes to that same thing. It's not necessarily about the one person's contribution. It's about collectively, like we are pulling from the same pot here. Anyways, answer the question about the exercise bike. I want to know if your opinion's changed.
I understand a little bit more about the their money part, but I still struggle with it a little bit because I think the idea that she is buying him, I'm like, he's also buying himself a bike. It's their money. Unless she has apportioned a part of the money for herself to spend on things she wants to get. That's like saying, well, we bought ourselves Starbucks. We didn't buy Starbucks. You bought yourself Starbucks.
What?
So, like, in money, we have our discretionary funds. And it's like, okay, well, this is the couple stuff. And right. Then this is my stuff.
Right.
So, when you're
Everybody doesn't do that.
Well, people probably should.
Okay, that'll be for another episode. how to divide up your finances.
Well, I think just to make it easier, because if she had a pot of money that she'd been putting aside for gifts for what she wanted to buy and use that.
What's the difference? It's paychecks, right? Paychecks going into an account. She uses some of the account to buy gifts for her kids and gifts for her husband. Boom. That's where their money comes from. It's from this account. So like whatever. It doesn't matter. Like how else it's divvied. So I think I still have some work to do.
You might still have some work to do.
So I will
until we get that work done, maybe I will buy us a BMW. I'll buy you a BMW 5 Series.
No, you can't. Okay, you're missing the point.
Am I?
I think so. And with that, thank you for listening to All These Things Podcast.
I guess we're done. So thanks, guys. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @AllThesethingsPodcast.
And email us at allthesethingspodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and share the pod with your friends.
All right. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.